Welcome. Welcome to the hole. It's dark in here, but that's okay. Close your eyes if it helps. There's no hurry. You can take a breath. That scent in your nostrils, do you recognize it? Fresh, slightly damp, fertile. A garden smell. The smell of earth. Feel the air on your face. Damp, cool, clean. There are no traffic fumes in here. What can you hear? There's the outside world. There's the inside world. The breath. Your pulse. Your heartbeat. What can you see? There is some light in here, filtering through small cracks above your head, a little grey daylight, enough to see where you are. An enclosed space. Four smooth walls, a bare floor. A smooth ceiling. No decoration. A cube. You could reach out and touch the walls from where you're standing. Could you? Try it. Try stretching out your arms as wide as you can, a little like a ballet dancer in second position, or like Leonardo da Vinci's drawing of Vitruvian Man, or like Christ on the cross. If you stretch your arms out like that with your hands extended, your fingertips will just about touch the walls on either side. Can you feel that? Your fingertips touching the walls just about. The north wall is behind you. The fingertips of your right hand touch the west wall. The fingertips of your left hand touch the east wall. You're facing the south wall. This is how wide the space is, the width of your outstretched arms. This dark space that smells of earth. This is how wide this space is. Now, lift your arms straight above your head and stretch out your fingers. There. Your fingertips brush the ceiling. Feel it. Smooth wood, quite dry. If you stretch upwards and explore the surface with your fingers, you can feel the cracks between the planks, the pattern of long straight grooves in each plank. And now relax. And if you reach out behind you and touch the wall, you can feel the surface beneath your fingers damp, rough, living. Earth. The walls are made of earth. Outside the room, the sky clears, the sun comes out. There's more light now. Daylight, filtering in through all those small gaps between the planks. You can see this landscape of earth all around you, each wall made of earth. The floor. What's the floor made of? Wait, there's grass beneath you, scuffed and muddy, but still grass. Turf. The floor is made of turf. Feel how different it is to stand on turf if you're used to standing on concrete. Now, look up, above eye level. At the edges, where the tops of the walls meet the wooden ceiling, can you see a frill of green? It's the edge of the lawn. There's grass growing above your head and grass beneath your feet. This is a room in which the world has been inverted or turned inside out somehow. Is it a room at all, or is it something else? A pit? A den? A trap? Or simply a hole in the ground? In many ways, this space is like a room. There are four walls, which meet at corners. The floor is flat, the ceiling is flat. There's no door. There are no windows. These are two ways in which the room is different from most rooms. Perhaps the room is a box, and the ceiling is the lid of the box. You could try examining the ceiling more carefully. Stretch up. Maybe you have to go onto the tips of your toes. Run your fingers over the ceiling. There's a square of wood in the centre. Can you see it? Or can you feel it with your fingers? A break in the pattern of planks. If this room or hole or box is a trap, this must be a trap door. There are two round holes in the trap door, and through them you can see the sky. If someone was outside, they could put their fingers through the holes and use them to lift up the door and open it. Or you could just jump up and push on the door from below, knock it out of place. So now that you know there's a way out, you can relax. You can explore. You're in a hole in the ground, which is like a box made of earth, in the shape of a cube. A square floor, square ceiling, square walls, every surface a square with the same area. Is that really true? Let's find out. If you lie on the floor, lie on your back, stretched out, soles of your feet against one wall, the west wall, for example, with the right side of your body touching the base of the north wall, that's right. Is that comfortable? A little cold, perhaps, down here on the underground ground, but it won't kill you. Now, raise your left arm up and extend it down, behind or beyond your head. Does that make sense? It might be difficult if you're feeling stiff, but if you stretch your left arm in line with your body and extend your fingers, you should be able to just about touch the far wall with your fingertips. You should feel the damp, firm earth of the east wall with the tips of your fingers as your feet press lightly against the west wall. It's the same height as the length, or the same length as the width as the height. Beneath your body, the turf is cold, dank, muddy. I hope you're wearing something practical, not your best clothes. Listen. Can you hear the worms turning, building their own small castles beside you? Can you hear the grass growing? Or is that just the wind in the trees in the garden high above you?
In all the images you have seen or imagined of people underground, in tunnels, hiding places, cells, secret passages, hermits' caves, smugglers' holes, labyrinths, mines, catacombs, tombs, in those sorts of images there is usually crawling, the need to crawl or squeeze or to make yourself as small as a space, to barely breathe, to speak.
Not here. Here you can stand. Oh yes, you can stand up now. There's no need to crawl in the mud anymore. You can stand up straight, and you can raise your arm and stretch out your fingers, and when you do that, your fingers just about touch the ceiling. Here you can spread your arms as wide as they will go and stretch your fingers out in order to touch the walls on both sides. And there's room to move. You can walk across the room from one side to the other in one, two, 3 small steps. 2.5, maybe. How wide is that exactly? Try walking back from the south wall, back to the north wall, 1 foot at a time this time. Heel to toe, toe to heel. Heel to toe, toe to heel. Heel to toe, toe to heel. 6 feet. This room is 6 times as wide as the length of your foot. It's a perfect cube, constructed to fit your dimensions exactly. Maybe not exactly, not quite perfect. There are disruptions, bumps and lumps, and as time passes there are more disruptions. Rainwater seeps through the cracks, the earth swells and puddles, and you can feel the uneven surface as you walk across it, testing its softness. For example, at the wall opposite, the south wall. All the layers of earth exposed, patterned with spade marks. Sharp, straight indentations in the soil, straighter than anything organic is supposed to be. Somebody made this wall by digging, think of that. Stretched muscles, aching backs, arms, shoulders, sweat. Traces of all of this human labour, all this effort and energy, remain here. And not just human labour. Something spun these webs. Something built these small coils of mulch. Look down at your foot, there, just beside your right foot. A red worm. As long as your index finger and as thin as a strand of wool, squeezes the segments of its body, painstakingly pushing itself across the vast terrain. The weather, too, has been doing work. The rain has been washing away the soft earth from the top of the wall, or clogging the sand at the bottom. At any rate, the effect is a sort of slump at the base. And green shoots have started pushing their way through the sides. Things have been happening here. How is your presence changing this space? Did you tread on that mushroom? Did you even notice it? Did you send a tiny spider hurtling off course when you moved your hand? Even by opening that trap door, looking up at the sky, you let in light and the noise of the outside world. And things will go on happening after you've gone. Things will go on happening after the hole has gone. Plants will put out shoots and send roots squirreling down into the soil. Rain will fall, daylight will come and go. Miscellaneous small life forms will be born and feed and breed and die and decay. Temperature will shift. Sounds will bounce down here to be absorbed in the soil. And after a while, the roof above you is lifted and the hole is exposed to the daylight. The sun is unforgiving, it reveals everything. The hole looks quite different without its darkness. At the very top, the fringe of grass blades. Under that, a top layer of smooth soil, dark brown. Roots sticking out at angles, some dry and dead, others maybe living. Roots branching into smaller roots, into smaller roots, into tiny rootlets, into hair-like fuzz. On the south wall, some green stalks and leaves. Something like a fern, maybe? Vibrant green. Shockingly alive. Then further west along that wall, a delicate skein of cobweb. The earth in this layer is firm, slightly damp. Press gently with your fingertips, and it yields. Further down, the next layer is pitted with stones and small depressions. A soft dusting of light brown earth that crumbles, falls like powder if you brush against it. Or if you blow on it. Further down, bigger stones, jagged shards of tile, layers of buried memory, like the surface of an undiscovered planet. And then at the base, the bottom third of the wall bulges out. A yellow-red sandy landscape of hills and valleys, layered with strips of grey. Feel the ground beneath your feet. Look at it. When did the grass disappear? You're standing on a bumpy mud plain now, patterned with your footprints. You've been pacing this small space for too long. Your presence here has changed it. It's time to go. Look. There's a red stepladder against the east wall. Slip hooked over the edge of the lawn. A way to return to the garden and the world. Climb it. One step at a time.